Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Briefs, the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation's Our Blue Bahamas podcast. I am your host, Crystal Darling Sargent, and today we are talking about conservation in action, law enforcement, and the role of BAWEN. Today I am here with Acting Commander Desiree Corneille from BAWEN, also her colleagues, the Chief Petty Officer Michelle Woods and Force Chief Petty Officer Wilbert Gilbert. And today we're diving into the work of the Bahamas Wildlife Enforcement Network, an interdisciplinary unit that brings together officers from across various law enforcement agencies to protect the Bahamas natural resources. Together, we are going to reflect on a successful week of collaboration with BRIEF and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and BAWEN, where 35 law enforcement participants engaged in marine conservation training, including snorkeling excursions, workshops, presentations, regulations, protected species, and law enforcement strategies. So, good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, we're going to start off with you, Acting Commander Desiree Corneille. Tell us about, I mentioned a little bit about BAWEN, but tell us all about BAWEN and what it does.
Okay, good morning, Mrs. Darling Sergeant. Appreciate you having us on your podcast today. My name is Desiree Corneille. I am a commander in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, currently attached to the Ministry of National Security, where my main purpose is helping to set up BAWEN, which is known as the Bahamas Wildlife Enforcement Network. And it is a cabinet-commissioned initiative that is currently operating as a task force. And so right now we have members from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Department of Customs, as well as the Department of Forestry, that are all seconded to one umbrella agency, and we are responsible for enforcing all of the natural resource, the wildlife, as well as the environmental acts, regulations within the Bahamas. It is envisioned to be, as soon as it's enacted, which we are hoping to be at least by the last quarter of this year, a standalone agency. It's going to be a sister agency to both the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Police Force, and it's going to be under the umbrella of the Ministry of National Security. And right now they're doing a stellar job. Our team has grown quite a bit this year, and we're looking forward to more things to come.
Okay, that sounds great. And you mentioned that, you know, all the different components and the different law enforcement agencies that are a part of BAWEN. Why is this so important to have all of those elements, and how do you coordinate across so many different law enforcement entities?
Okay, so that's actually a pretty great question. One of the first things is it's kind of easy because they're all under one roof. And so we do have this great thing in the public service where you're allowed to take persons that are already hired by government and different government agencies, and you can either redeploy or second them under one umbrella. So why that has happened is because the establishment of any type of agency, particularly law enforcement, tends to be quite a hefty fee. And one of the ways we are attempting to seamlessly bring it into being is through the, we don't have to get the remunerations, the salaries to pay. These persons are already being paid by the government. Not only that, they're already familiar with their enforcement sections. They're already familiar with their regulations from their own agencies. And we have no shortage of policies and regulations that require enforcement in the Bahamas, especially for our environmental. Our only reason it has been under and unregulated is because they haven't been given enough training. And so putting these persons under one umbrella helps us to focus, right? We get an opportunity to use the police forces, arrest powers, the defense forces, training, the forestry's technical know-how and their environmental assessment capabilities, the Department of Customs, all of their network comes into play. Now, we are expecting to get even more persons as the year goes again. We're going to also use those persons as our initial, both of our initial operational force, as well as our trainers. So we do intend to extend it to other civilians once we get enacted, and that is what's going to happen. So it's been primarily to help us with the funding as well. So we want to use the funding to get our mobilization for things like base and equipment and our fleet.
Okay. That sounds very good, very promising, and it shows the growth, you know, in the national security sector in the Bahamas as well, you know, and collaboration always strengthens, right? An initiative, right?
It does.
So we see that there is a need in the country with law enforcement, especially when you're dealing with wildlife and conservation. And to collaborate and have a group of people from different agencies coming together to work toward this goal is a very powerful thing. And it is something that's going to become more crucial, especially going into, you know, future generations, right? You see the climate change and all of the issues that are facing our world right now. And, you know, it is something that will require more enforcement in the future. But I really want to loop in everyone now in the conversation. So Force Chief Petty Officer Mr. Wilbert Gilbert and Chief Petty Officer Michelle Woods, I want to kind of give you the opportunity to join in telling us why it's so important for marine conservation to be included in the law enforcement conversation. On the show, we always talk about marine conservation and how people, you know, citizen action and everybody taking their part. But, you know, we don't always think about the law enforcement part of, you know, part of the conversation. So why is that also very important?
Okay, so morning again. So I'd like to say marine conservation is actually a critical part of law enforcement conservation, because our marine environment or ecosystems, they aren't just beautiful. They're actually essential to our national security, to our economy, to our food security. As you know, like illegal activities like poaching, unregulated fishing, pollution and habitat destruction can devastate marine life and undermine years of marine conservation efforts. So when law enforcement is actively involved in protecting marine resources, it actually ensures that laws are actually enforced, that violators are held accountable, and that sustainable practices are actually upheld. This partnership between conservation and enforcement is key to actually protecting our marine biodiversity for future generations to come.
Very well said. Very well said.
Very, very well
that
said.
We should just print that out and put that right in front of the Ministry of National Security. It's like right there. And then everyone be like, they walk in.
That's what it's all about.
You're sitting in the lobby and you're reading it, you know, and say, okay, like that makes a lot of sense, you know. So Mr. Wilbert Gilbert.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, for me, it's always been the fact that Bowen is now set up where we enforce, we investigate, and we educate. My main peeve on it is education, because of the fact that me just joining this unit, I have learned so many things. And it's important that we teach our people that sometimes, you know, what you think is right is actually wrong. We need to actually start reading up and educate our people to know that, hey, this is not something that you should be doing. You should not be allowing persons to throw gasoline all over the ground. You should not be allowing persons. And our people need to understand that if you see something, say something. It's not your place. It is our place. And I would like that one day our children's children will be able to enjoy these things that we're enjoying today. And if we continue to go down the path that we're going, it's not going to be there for them. So our main thing is educating, investigate, and enforce the law to make sure that people understand this is our land, this is our property. We need to protect it. We can't depend on other people to protect it. If you have ever had an opportunity to go to certain other countries that we had the opportunity to do, persons have cut all their trees down.
Oh, wow.
We have countries where persons have already fished all their fishes. And if they have already fished all their fishes, okay, you think they're going to come next? They're going to come to where the fishes are plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
So my main thing is education. That's my main peeve in being a part of this power and operation.
Yeah. Education is definitely at the core, I think, of the majority of things that we need to enforce in the country, in the Bahamas in general. And I love that you said, Force Chief Gilbert, I love that you said that if you see something, say something, because we are coming out of, I hope, a era, right? We know that a lot of Bahamians are very skeptical and afraid to say things because of, you know, a history of violence to people who may be targeted for speaking up or speaking out against certain individuals who want to do the illegal things, mm-hmm. right, that are damaging our environment.
True.
So education, especially when we talk about teaching this new generation of Bahamians who are coming up, say, hey, you know, let's make this a habit. Let's make this like the normal thing to speak out and whenever, you know, somebody's doing something that's not right. But how, what would your advice be as law enforcement officers and personnel? What would your advice be to Bahamians to speak up even when they're afraid or they may feel intimidated to say anything?
That's an excellent segue into an app that we actually have. It's called BAH, Wild Tip. It's a Tip 411 application. You can download it. It's free on Google or Apple Store. And it's an anonymous reporting mechanism. So you can just put the information. And we do want to send a word of caution that we have been getting quite a bit of information from the public, but it's not really good information. So we do urge that if you're putting in information, you can't just tell us that there's a car taking sisal. You have to give us a little bit more information without putting yourself in any type of danger. There's a blue car on the corner of this street and that street. And it looks like it has the license plate number, blah, blah, blah. And it's the same thing. So we do get quite a bit of information. And then sometimes we are unable to act because we don't have sufficient information. They'd say, oh, Johnny is taking some conk. I don't know which island is Johnny on, and so we just want
Johnny.
Yeah,
which Johnny is it?
Right. So we do urge that there is a mechanism that goes once you put that information in. It is completely anonymous. We won't know who is calling us or texting us. And how we do want to become quite transparent, though. If you do decide to share your GPS location, obviously, then it can be. And if you put your phone number in it, those are the only two ways that we can actually figure out who it is. But we're not interested in figuring out who it is. We're just interested in keep putting impact and putting some high priority on some of the cases that we have in the country. And so we have quite a bit of problems that we do have in the country. And it can be construed as not crimes against the person. And so sometimes it's not taken as seriously. We can see one of the examples. There's a huge fire now in the Western New Providence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That started up in an area where we know that there's charcoal kilning being done. All right. So we've been reporting those things. So our persons do quite a bit of patrolling around all of these areas. And as soon as they see something that could lead to it, we try to work hand in hand with the fire department to make sure things like that don't happen. And to bring whole persons accountable who are doing these things, because previously they do charcoal coaling, which brings in what? You have to do deforestation for that, which means there are about 158, don't quote me on that, but I think there are 158 protected species under the Protected Tree Species Act.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're just cutting them down willy-nilly. They're not clearing. There's no environmental clearance certificate. There's nothing in place to hold persons accountable. And then now it leads to a forest fire that puts a lot of persons in respiratory problems. We have a lot of environmental conditions that are happening. The smoke, persons' houses are at risk of being burnt down. So it's a community problem when it happens. And I think particularly they might have started hearing a lot more about us from the quarry mining that we've been doing. And again, that's a big issue because only the general public tends to get hurt from that. The unprecedented flooding in areas that never used to flood before, the water table, the damage to the water table. Persons are finding more places to dump things that are leaking into everything. So it's a big community problem. And my persons are starting to see exactly where they fit into this puzzle, that we are responsible for preserving the Bahamas for generations to come. And it's not an easy task. And we've been doing things a certain way for a long time, and trying to change mindset, it's going to be a uphill fight, but we're committed to making sure it happens.
And I'm glad. I'm not happy to hear about what's happening, but I'm glad that you listed some examples of the things that are happening in Bahamas that we don't even, you know, we may not even be aware of, right? So I appreciate that. And with that also being said, I want to open the floor again to ask, what are some of the key environmental threats that Bawin officers are trained to address? You mentioned earlier that, you know, this is interdisciplinary, right? Or it has like many different components and people from various enforcement entities, right? So what are the officers trained to address in general? So there's regulations of forest, like for those forest fires or the people doing illegal minings, and what else does Bawin deal with?
So just before they jump in with some of their answers, we want to make sure that the public understands that Bawin, our primary task is enforcement. And so even though other persons bring their experience and some of their powers from other agencies, when they come into Bawin, there are things that we also train them. We bring our own, we have our own organizational culture and our own enforcement methods that happen. And so I'm sure they'll be able to jump in. Besides the charcoal and the quarry mining, we have a lot of persons on a lot of the keys that are just taking tractors, for instance, and just refacing the water line. They're moving the rocks. We have a lot of illegal swimming with the pig operations. We have...
And everyone wants to swim with the pigs. They're so cute.
They're cute until they grow up, and then they don't know what to do with them. And it's important that Bahamians, the regular Bahamian, has a way of being able to have lifestyle to make money. But what they do need to understand is the step needs to be back. Pigs are disease carriers. And there's a lot of zoonotic diseases that can happen as a result of not following certain rules, that they don't have the correct... clean environment.
And you don't want the stray pig problem, right? Or anything.
And they completely change the landscape, all right?
So very true.
They
very
do
true.
Change the landscape based on the amount of trampling that they do, and that's why when they give them certain, when they give up their clearance and their permits, they usually list conditions.
Yes.
And so you say, yes, you can have it, but you can only have up to like maybe 14, and it has to be in this, and there needs to be clean water, and they need to be fed.
So what do you find that's not within those perimeters? Like, how do people usually like cross the line with some of these operations that they're doing that may have like legal limitations, but they're crossing the line with some of these?
A lot of it comes in play, especially when it comes, with the Bawin, we have subject matter experts, forestry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in the bush. I'm not going to know all these trees. We have a fella that he could basically label every tree and tell you whatever. But our problem is when we have persons coming into the country, take for example our rock iguanas. Why would you want to take my iguana and carry it to your country that it's not, and then you bring in this iguana and leave it? Now we have a problem with that situation. So our thing is we're trying to make sure that we control our environment and what comes into our environment. All right, we have a corn snake situation around here.
Oh yes,
right now, you understand. But it's not from here. And many Bahamians, when they see a corn snake, they're not knowledgeable to know that's not poisonous. They're gonna call us and say, "Oh, we see one." poisonous snake running around the place. You know what I mean? So our thing is to go out there and protect our environment and the smuggling of our wildlife back to other countries. That's a big thing with us, especially after hurricanes. You have persons coming in. They're coming in under the pretense that they're bringing in, but they're taking while they go. And that's what like I said, being with this Bowen team for this very short period of time, I have learned so many things. What I thought I was doing right, but I was actually doing wrong. So I'm actually, if you really understand what's on these books, a lot of you will be like, hey, I ain't going back out there to go cut no more trees down.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get a CEC. No one wants to get a DEP. Come on, just go there, get it. Get it done. Do it legally. No one's trying to stop you from doing anything. We're just telling you, if you're going to do it legally. That's it.
For sure. You have anything to add, Chief Officer? Petty Chief Officer Woods.
I'd also like to chime in. Reference to, I know that you mentioned the pigs, for example, because a lot of people just see it as a business
avenue.
But what you have to remember is that there's marine mammal protection as well. So with that being said, you also have to take note of the fact that there are some persons that even capture dolphins, seals, like that. And they do that to, say, entertain the tourists. But you also have to care for these animals. You can't just keep them in a closed environment and not make sure that health-wise that they're doing well. So there's also something in place where veterans are to make sure that the animals' rights are being protected as well, that they're being well taken care of as well. You can't just capture an animal and keep it and not take care of it the way that it should just for your gain.
And I know that we also have marine mammal protection here in the Bahamas as well. So that's something where people should not be also not be taking advantage.
So marine turtles, marine mammals, of course we are shark haven. And it's because these things are worth more to us alive than they are dead. And there's a lot of conversation that needs to be had. And as we go through the different islands, making it known, I know one of the questions that we come up with, why don't we do this? You know, we have too many boa constrictor snakes, or we have too many turtles. Our point is, even though we can help, probably try to influence policy by writing for advocacy, our job is to enforce the laws that the Bahamas has on the books, and that's what we continue to do. So until such time as the laws change, we have to enforce the laws that are there. And just, I know persons think that it's not a big deal, but I'd encourage everybody to Google something called seal finger, right? Just look at the pictures of what can happen by just arbitrarily touching wild animals and animals we don't know anything about. And if you see what can potentially happen, you'd be less inclined to start interfering with some of these feral animals.
Absolutely. And I'm going to, in that same breath though, I'm going to take a little pivot. And we know that recently Brief and Bowen, along with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, did a collaboration, which was the Marine Conservation Workshop, where we had some individuals from Bowen in attendance, as well as people who are not in Bowen, but they're from various different law enforcement agencies, customs, immigration, even the airport, right? And DEP, the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, BNT, were all together in one room learning about conservation. And this was the sixth year of this annual workshop. What in your, you three being a part of this entire week of events, what stood out that was different this year, in your opinion, than other years? And what would you feel would have been the main takeaway for the majority of people, right, the participants in this workshop this year?
So I think that question probably has to be for me, because I've been the only one that's been been there for more than 1 year. Yeah. For me, this is actually the seventh year, because I would have attended the ones when they had it for teachers in San Salvador. And once I came out of that, I realized how much information came up. And here it is that I was a Defense Force officer at that time on board a ship. I was responsible for enforcing laws, our group of laws, our crawfish laws, all of these laws. But it wasn't until I got to that workshop that I realized I didn't understand why. I knew that's the law, let's enforce it. And I realized that that understanding now empowered my enforcement efforts, because now I understood that there's a reason why the grouper has to be a certain size, right? We realize that maturity or their reproduction life has to be taken into consideration for other species as well, yeah. And that these laws aren't just arbitrarily thrown onto the books. And understanding that, I think, is also the takeaway from this one. So we've grown by leaps and bounds over the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. I believe Chief Petty Officer Woods would have been the facilitator for this year. And we really went from, I think we kind of teetered around 17 to 23 maybe persons over the last 6 years. And so right away we sent it out, and it seems as though the agencies were actually waiting for this. Mm-hmm. We are big on multidisciplinary interagency, because that's where a lot of the learning takes place, through osmosis and diffusion. Mm-hmm. And you say something and somebody, they talk about jurisdictions right inside the room. So a couple of things. One is the takeaways would be to understand that understanding empowers enforcement. They see where they fit, where the bigger picture is. They understand that they're not the only one in the fight, and so they don't feel as willing to give up if things don't go our way, if the prosecution perhaps don't always go in our favor. Mm-hmm. Second would be have been the lateral networks, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's extremely important. So you have somebody from customs who probably would have never been with the Nassau Airport Development or the Airport Authority or Forestry, and now they realize, oh, one of two persons actually said, oh, you know, I didn't even know that there was a department that was information, and that's with any of the agencies. And so, but I think Woods may have a little bit more to say about the issue. She was there for the day to day, about exactly how it actually went, but in terms of the takeaway, definitely the lateral networking that can happen, mm-hmm. as well as the fact that understanding empowers enforcement.
Wonderful. And Chief Petty Officer Woods, you know, we did the whole intro, your whole introduction just now, so you have to speak. And I want to ask, what has been, because you've been like a very essential part of this whole planning and logistical features of this workshop. What would you say has been the most rewarding part of this week of MCW this year?
Okay, so my most rewarding, what's been most rewarding to me, for this week has been seeing the transformation of participants. As you are aware, many of the participants, when they first came in, they would have had limited exposure to marine conservation, to now, to the point where they are confidently able to identify species, discuss enforcement strategies. They're also showing like this real passion now for protecting our marine resources, our marine environment, actually. Mm-hmm. It's also incredibly fulfilling to witness that shift in mindset, to know that this training is not just information, mm-hmm. but it's rather empowerment. Knowing that these officers are now better equipped stewards of our ocean, actually, and to influence their communities in a positive way, that makes the hard work mm-hmm. all worth it.
Well, that's beautiful.
That's
poetry.
Yes. She is poetry
in
motion.
So I'm going to shift over to Force Chief Officer Wilbur Gilbert for this next question. And I want to ask, we always talk about it on the podcast. We like snorkeling. Snorkeling is our thing at Reef, right? We love guiding snorkels. But I know that you've participated in the snorkels during the marine conservation workshop. And you also have a career of training professional law enforcement officers. And so I want to ask you, why is an activity like snorkeling and other similar activities where you have hands-on experience. Why are those powerful tools in training?
Well, first of all, with that training that went down, I have seen you guys transform persons. A lady who couldn't swim, mm-hmm. went into the ocean. Although she was on a floaty, she was brave enough to go out there and explore. Took that breath and go out there to explore. All safety measures in place now, but for the sure. fact is, she was able to go out there mm-hmm. and actually go by the statues out by
Clifton
Heritage. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. Yeah. And to see the faces of some of the persons when we went out by
Sea Beach the caves area. Okay. Yeah, and Sea Beach Promenade.
Yeah, yeah. And they were able to say, hey, I actually saw a stingray.
Yes.
And they were able to distinguish the difference between different types of fish. They saw a sergeant major. They said, we don't know what any sergeant major. But, you know, it was like a highlight to me. Although I've already been through it, drive, yes. swim, and all that. Just to see other persons from different agencies come there and say, hey, they have never been snorkeling before. And to see them go in that water. And mm-hmm. took that opportunity to explore, and that was the highlight of everything for me. I just enjoyed to see that other persons got the chance to see our beauty underwater, and understand that now we have to preserve that same beauty, mm-hmm. that same lifestyle that we have for our children, mm-hmm. so they'll be able to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. I think that is such it's such an important thing to recognize that every, you know, that training is something that could be not just, you know, I'm trying to build a skill, right? But it's also something where I'm actually gaining more of like an understanding or it's bringing learning mm-hmm. to life. Mm-hmm. It's helping you to connect mm-hmm. with what your whole job is all about, protecting and enforcing, right? And it brings meaning, that's the word, meaning to what you are doing. And I think it's a refreshing, you know, almost retreat-like scenario where people are coming together, they're learning together, they're building together, and like Acting Commander Cornet said earlier, it is something where you are networking across enforcement lines, right? Yes. So you're rubbing shoulders with people in different agencies that where you all have the same ultimate goal, right? Of protecting our natural resources and enforcing the laws in the country. And so as we wrap up, because this has been a brilliant conversation, I want to give Acting Commander Cornet an opportunity to explain, where do you see Bawen evolving over the next few years, just in a nutshell?
Oh boy, and in a nutshell. So we have really great plans for Bawen, and we are hoping that the powers that be, the budgets and all of the lawmakers see the same thing. We do see it. The first thing happening on our list would be the enactment of our laws mm-hmm. to give each Bawen member full police powers, prosecution, search, seizure, arrest, all of that. I think that'll be a big step towards completing our mandate. Our second step would obviously be expansion. Mm-hmm. We understand that crimes, like every other crime, don't happen in a silo. It happens across the country.
And for sure.
So right now, in order to be able to expand, we need to be able to send persons to different areas. And we've already had our strategic planning meeting with all of the compliance and regulatory agencies. And we understand what the big picture is and mm-hmm. what we have to do to make an impact as a small team. And then beyond that, so it's always for us, it'll be people, our presence, and our policy. Mm-hmm. And that's in a nutshell, because I know we do have a timing.
We hope unfortunately, but we are going to have to do a part two.
Yes, we definitely have to do a part two.
Because there's so much more to talk about. Yes. We got through half of what we were talking about. But yes, thank you so much, our listening
audience, for tuning in.
Thank you so much for Bowen for being here and having this conversation with us that is of national importance.
Complete.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
So protecting our natural resources is not just about laws, everyone. It is about partnership, training, and passion. Please remember to download the Bahamas Wild Tip app. If you see something, say something. Thank you.
Thank you.